Okay, good morning. So Kevin's got those business cards in your handbag, ready to give out. It's been great. I love praise, I love worship. If you want to do some more of that, 6:30 tonight, we'll be here. It's great. Just before I get into what I've got to bring this morning, just want to bring something I felt prophetically this morning before I came out. If you bear with me on that. Have we got any under 18s left in here, or have they all gone? Are all the under 18s out? That's fine. If you are James, why aren't you in Sunday school? It's been highlighted now. Well, my word for the under 18s was that Jesus loves you with all his heart. Jesus loves you, James. If you're between 18 and in your 18s to 30s, so would you stand? If you're anywhere between the 18s to 30s, so if you're under 40, you come into that bracket. Could even scrape in if you're 40. Okay. As I was preparing myself this morning, God was saying a couple of things to me about various generations. And this particular generation that stood up, God was reminding me that the generation that you are in is the time, the generational time that you're in, the age time that you're in, it's the time in my life, my own personal life, that I made the most mistakes. If I look back and see the things that I regret most of them are in that age band. And yet, it was a time when God was doing so much in my life as well. And I just as I was thinking about your age group, the verse came to me, seek first the kingdom of God. There's so many things out there that we can seek for today. We can seek for love, we can seek for marriage, we can seek for family, we can seek for riches, we can seek for a great job, career, all of these things. And you know, in them, in of themselves, none of them wrong. But I just feel this morning, and particularly for some of you, God saying, seek me more than these. Have a passion for me more than these. Don't make the mistakes that I made. Don't have to look back and look at the mistakes. Go for God. In my younger days, I've told you before, I was out the front wanting prayer all the time, and I still made mistakes. Have a passion for God. Make God your biggest passion. You sit down. If you were above that age, will you stand up if you can? I was watching Ian, you see. She was struggling somewhat. As I thought about this age group, I said, God, what would you say to this age group? And this is what I felt God say. There are many, many voices, examples out in the world today that want to influence our younger generations. There are few mothers. There are few fathers. There are few grandfathers, grandmothers. And you realize now I'm talking spiritual, not natural. I know there's plenty of grandmothers and grandfathers and moms and dads out there. Spiritually, there are few mothers, fathers, grandmothers. Those who will example those who will disciple, those who will pray for, those who will bless the youngsters that I have placed within your circles. Will you be the fathers? Will you be the mothers? Will you be the grandfathers? I have no shame if God wants to make me a grandfather rather than a father now. I was saying just to somebody just last week, actually, a similar thing, that one of the problems is we don't have many fathers spiritually because we haven't got the grandfathers fathering the fathers. Never be too proud to be a grandmother or a grandfather. Do you know what? It's an honor. But will you be those things to those I've put in your circles? Because God wants to raise a new generation. A generation who will seek his face, who will seek his kingdom. And you need to play your part in that. Will you sit down? God bless you. I'll leave those things for you to think and to ponder. But I do think God is calling us all higher, deeper. Particularly as we head into this year. God's after something new. Okay. So I want to show you a little video clip. It's a bit longer than I normally show, but it just sets the scene for where I'm going this morning and generally where we're going with the series. So hopefully it will work. Forget it. That's the wrong one. That's the wrong one. Never mind. Don't worry. Should have been the Genesis one on the page. But don't worry. It's one of those things. We'll maybe show it another time. But it was a very good synopsis of the Genesis story. It just set out a little bit of what I want to do, but don't worry, it's not essential. So let's go to the PowerPoint. I may have sent the link wrongly. So this morning we are looking, interestingly, at what the start of that said, the image of God. The question on the series that we're starting, it's a new series this morning, is who am I? Who am I? And the series is really to try and increase our understanding of the biblical answers to that question rather than the world's answer, so that in knowing who we are in God, we can more confidently be who he's called to be and understand what he's calling us to. So that's our theme this morning. Who am I? And my little title this morning is, I'm unique. I'm made in God's image. I am unique. That's who I am. The world and the ruler of this world wants us to think other than what God says and what God thinks. So Satan would want us to think things like this: I'm nothing, I'm worthless, ugly, etc., etc., etc. They are the things that the world and the Satan wants us to think when we think, who am I? We identify ourselves with all the negatives of who we are. If the devil can't get us that way, his next step is almost the opposite. He wants us to just think, I can. There's so much out there, isn't there, of courses and resources, self-confidence, self-assertion, be a leader, I can be. And in and of itself, again, some of those things of helping ourselves gain confidence is not wrong. The problem is, if all of that is without God, actually it's not true. I can, and positive thinking will only get you so far. Because we're not meant to be without God, we're meant to be with God. So what I want to do is to push through the negatives and the other ends and look for God's truth this morning. So we're going to look at a few scriptures this morning. God made us in His image. I want to think about that this morning. If you want to follow in the scriptures, turn with me to Genesis 1. I'm going to look at verse 26 to 31. I'm going to look at quite a bit of scripture this morning. And hopefully I can achieve what I want to achieve this morning. Let me read this. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image." Everybody say image. "After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the seas, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own. You're getting the idea? In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant of food." And it was so. And God saw everything that He made, and behold, it was very good. One of my favorite phrases, very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Turn to Genesis 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Let's have a look at Genesis 2, 21 to 25. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, He made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his wife and his mother and hold fast to his wife." Leave his father and his mother. Get that right. And hold fast to his wife. And they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Okay, some scriptures to start us off there. First of all, let me ask a question. Before God created the heavens and the earth, what was there? Nothing, yeah. Absolutely nothing. What were God's materials then for creating with? His word, yes. The theologian says His word. But you're right. You're both right. There was nothing. And from nothing, through His word, He created everything. Okay. What then were we made from? Dust. I was waiting for you all to say nothing. By then there was at least dust. We were made from dust. So he takes dust and he creates man. He takes nothing and creates something, and takes dust and he creates man. So without God, we are nothing. We can think we're lots of things, but without God, we are nothing. But with God, what a difference. God created us and he looked at us and he said, it's good, very good. When God created the world, he made many things and he said they were good. When he looked at man and mankind, he said, it's very good. It's very good. In fact, he said, this is my image. Of everything else he created, he never said, these are made with my image. Now, if Joel was speaking this morning, if Tony was speaking this morning, I reckon they could spend a long time just on what does that mean, made in his image. I haven't got all of that sort of time, and I've still got other things to cover. But whatever it means, it could mean character, it could mean, I have a sense that it means something about the dominion and the authority that he gives man, that he doesn't give any of the other items of creation. He creates, and then he gives man, and then he says, you now have dominion over the rest of creation, like God has dominion. Whatever it means, God looked at us and he said, you bear my image. That's enough for me. If you want to find out more about image and God, go and study it. What I can tell you it doesn't mean is, if I were to ring up Dave Scott and say, Dave, just pop down to my house, will you? Do a little portrait of me. And I'll stick it on the wall and say, there you are, the image of God. That's just what God looks like, me. It certainly doesn't mean that. But he certainly looks at us and he says, I made you in my image. Now, we might, I should have said as well that God makes us out of dust. He brings us to life by breathing his life into us. God breathed, next slide, and man in his own image has life. Life because of the breath of God, because of the word of God. Just that he's a little throwaway that I picked up. Some of you probably knew this, heard this, nothing new to you. You'll be thinking, yeah, I've heard all that before. But for me, saw it for the first time this as I studied this, and I loved it. So if we go to the next slide. Remember, there's a little story. This is a complete off the line here. There's a little story in Luke 20 where Jesus is he's out and about, and somebody comes and tries to trick him with a question. And says, should we pay taxes? Thinking, well, if he says yes, the Jews are not going to be happy. If he says no, the Romans are not going to be happy. He's in trouble. He can only say yes or no. And he says, have you got a coin? Anybody got a coin? And out comes this denarius. And he says, whose image is on the coin? And they say, Caesar's. Jesus says, give to Caesar what's Caesar's. Give to God what is his. Now, here's a little thing for you. That bears the image of Caesar. What image do we bear? So what do we give to God? Ourselves. I never saw that in that story. Only ever saw the cleverness of Jesus getting out of the trouble. But isn't it different when you think about that? Give to Caesar his. Give to me what's mine and bears my image. You. That's just a little throwaway. Problem is, that's all good news. And then there's some bad news. We failed. Adam and Eve failed. Other Bible characters failed. And we fail. Bible says we're born in sin. God made man, looked at him, said he's in my image. But something certainly has changed, hasn't it? I look at mankind at the moment and I often find it hard to think, where is God's image here? Something changed. That God made Adam and Eve in his image is a fact. That we seem to have moved far away from that is also a fact because we fail. We get things wrong. Something changed in the garden. And we fail. Let's read Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day. For the darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me. When as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Yes, we fail. But do you know what? The good news is God still loves us. He knows everything we say. He knows everything we do. He knows, which scares me, everything I think. Well, people can see what I do. People can hear what I say. It's a scary thought if people could hear what I'm thinking. But for me, there are times when I know my thoughts, I wouldn't want people to hear, but God hears. He knows, and yet he loves us. Why? Because he created us. He made us. He made us in his image. He intended us to be in his image. He will not love us because we fail. One of the things that I felt God say to me again, and it's basic, but just as you prepare, often God speaks and reminds you of simple truths. And God said, you may fail, but you're not a failure. problem is we fail and then term ourselves a failure. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. You may fail, but you're not a failure. God doesn't think of you as a failure. He looks, he knows all of those things about you, and yet he loves you. So it was interesting as well reading that psalm. The psalmist doesn't, he talks about the fact that God has already numbered his years, and he doesn't praise God for the number of years. He says, I just love your thoughts about me. He's more interested in God's thoughts about him than how many years God will give him. I think sometimes I'm too interested in how many years I'm going to get and less interested in what God thinks about me. God thinks a lot about you. He loves you because he made you. When I was Stephen was little, he would go to school. Sometimes he'd come home and he would have a cornflake box and another little box on top of that and a little toilet roll on top of that. Not allowed to do that now, are you? It's gone out with risk assessment. Can't use toilet rolls. They're not clean enough. I better not go there. But he comes home with his creation. Look what I made at school, Dad. What is it? It's a ship. It looks rather like a box of cornflakes. He made it. Do you know what? Those sort of things, how many of you can remember with your kids having those sort of things brought home to you and having to put them in pride of place? How many of you still have to do that? Grandchildren or children have to, they bring it home. It's almost, can you create a cabinet to show my creation? And they love it. Why? Because they made it. Because they made it. God loves you because he made you. You don't have to strive any harder to make him love you anymore. He loves you already. He loves you because he made you. John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world but in order that the world might be saved through him. Despite the fact that we fail, he still loves us. He still, his heart is for us. So much he sent his son to die for us. So we might fail, but it doesn't stop God wanting us. And actually, often God takes our failings and uses them. The other interesting thing I thought about, there's a few throwaways here that are just along the way as I was preparing this. When God was creating the world, if we go back to Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless. And what covered the earth? Somebody else said darkness. Darkness covered the face of the earth first, didn't it? It says that God, there was, but it says darkness covered the earth. What does darkness speak of? When it's just totally black and, what was that, Pauline? No God, no life. And that's how the earth was. What does God then do? He creates light. Does he get rid of the darkness? Some say yes, some say no. I'll tell you my take on that. He takes the darkness and he puts it in its right place. And he says, do you know what? No longer will there be just darkness, but we'll have some darkness and it'll have its use. Wouldn't we be in trouble without darkness? You'd all be suffering from lack of sleep like I do. He takes the darkness and he uses it and he makes it in its right place and says, it's still going to be there, but it'll be in the right time and in the right place. He takes what seems bad and he uses it. Now, theologians will probably rip me apart on that, but there's some truth in there at least. You know, we can have dark things, God can take them, and he can use them. He could say, there's a place for this. We want to roll back all the badness. Sometimes God says, I want to use that. I've watched so many times people who've made big mistakes in their lives, and God's used that to help others who are making the same mistakes. If you're sat here this morning thinking, but I'm a failure, I've failed, I've done this, I've done that, God can use those things. God can redeem those things and bring them into his kingdom for his purpose. We should never be in a position where we're condemned by our past. God can turn all of that around. So we might fail, but God loves us. 1 John 4:9 to 10 says this, in this the love of God was manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, if I can get my teeth back in, for our sins. God loves us, even when we make a mistake. And God can use even our mistakes. My dad used to have a saying, he used to say it a lot. He used to say to me, Neil, nothing walks with aimless feet. Nothing walks with aimless feet. What he was really saying to me was, whatever happens, it's got purpose. Nothing is unusable. When I got things wrong, he would often say that to me. Neil, nothing walks with aimless feet. God can use it. God can use it. I learned a lot through that. So God knows our thoughts. He knows our actions. He knows where we go. He knows what we say. But he loves us. So this is the good news. God made us in his image. Sin destroyed God's perfect image and continues to. But God has a plan. That's the really good news. God has a plan for you and for me. And that plan is good. In fact, it's very good. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 6. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, we've had this morning, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and for all who are in high positions, for everybody, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and defined in every way, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. And in Jeremiah 29, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's God's plan for you. A future and a hope. God has a good plan for you and for me. It's interesting in there, and Pauline started us off with prayer for our nation and the government. Do we mourn a lot about our government? Any of you that mourn a lot about the politicians and mourn a lot about Brexit. I'm sick of hearing about Brexit, I'll tell you. We just either need to do it or not do it, but let's get on with something. Fed up of it. But do we mourn a lot about it? My next question is, do we pray a lot about it? If we prayed as much as we mourn, maybe there'd be a difference. So you've got a chance on Tuesday, because Tuesday evening we're going to pray for the nation. And I want to invite those who feel that they can during the day to fast. If you can't do a whole fast, do a partial fast for our nation. If ever our nation needed prayer, it's now. So Tuesday evening, we're going to pray for the nation. Let me encourage you, come along. Let me also encourage you, leave your political hat at home. Whatever that political hat is, and we all have them. Leave it at home. Come and just pray for the nation. And pray for the people who are making decisions at the moment. There's a chance for you Tuesday evening. If we want to see a difference, let's start praying in a difference. Anyway, back to this morning. So God made you in his image. Who am I? I'm God's creation. Who am I? I'm unique. Thank goodness God only made one Neil Strike. The world would not cope with more than one Neil Strike. But God looks at me and says, but you're good. Very good. I look at myself at times and think, maybe not. The truth is, God says, you are good. Very good. I would love this morning to go around, if I knew all your names, to go around by name and say, do you know what? God looks at you and he says, you're good. Very good. Whatever you think, God looks at you and he says, you're good. Very good. Does he love all that we do? Do we get it wrong? Do we fail? Yes, we do. Does he still love us? Yes, he does. Because you're good. Very good. You're made in God's image. Now, we have a responsibility there to make a choice. Because sin is a reality. And sin robs us of being like God. And sin robs us of the relationship that God intended us to have. So yeah, we're good. But if we want to be like God wants us to be, we need to choose his way, not our way. There's a choice to be made. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. There's a choice. We can choose. How are you choosing today? Are you choosing God's way or your way? The best way or the not so good way? Choice is yours. Choose you this day whom you shall serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And one day, you will truly again be how God meant us to be. The image of God in every way. Until that day, we'll keep making mistakes. I certainly will. But I will do that knowing I'm loved, I'm chosen, I'm called for a purpose, and God has a plan for me. and he loves me and will keep on loving me. Get hold of that today. He loves you. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. He just wants relationship with you. That's all he wants. Relationship with you because he loves you. God bless you.